Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for Clear Directions with Monica Becker. Monica is the founder of Clear Directions Coaching, a leadership coach and Dalai Lama Method facilitator, here to introduce you to diverse guests offering education, insights, perspectives, and practical tools intended to assist leaders in resolving their internal and external struggles. Get ready for the next engaging and insightful conversation. Here's Monica now.
Well, hello and welcome. This is Monica Becker from Clear Directions Coaching, and I'm calling you again from beautiful North Vancouver in British Columbia in Canada. As you know, I'm your host on these monthly Clear Directions radio shows every fourth Wednesday of the month at 11 a.m. If you're new to the show, I'd like you to know that my intention is to use this show to support you in finding your clear direction. My guests and I will share experiences, insights, and very practical tools so that you may use them to get to know yourself better and find your unique path. I've given my shows the overarching theme of leadership, and in every show, my guests and I are looking at leadership from a different angle, and today's show is no different. My guest on today's show is Mada Eliza Dalian, and together we will explore the topic, what will leadership of the future look like, and why we need to change the way we view leadership and our search for meaning and purpose in life. If you have any questions throughout the show, please email them to ontheair@telus.net, and I will do my best to address them during the show. We will also have a short Q&A segment for live questions if time permits. So before we dive into today's conversation, let me introduce my guest, Mada Eliza Dalian, to you. I'm especially thrilled to have her with me today, because she has been and continues to be my inspiring teacher and spiritual guide, and I've worked with her over the last 4 years now. So Mada Dalian was born in Armenia. At the age of 24, she immigrated to North America, where she soon came across the teachings of the 20th century mystics George Gurdjieff and Osho. Their words deeply affected her, and in spite of her training in education and architecture, she devoted herself to the search for truth and spiritual enlightenment. After years of focused commitment to meditation, Mada was blessed with several profound experiences that ultimately led to a powerful awakening at the age of 33. This helped her to discover firsthand the truth that all the masters point to. We are not our body, mind, pain, and suffering, but rather a manifestation of love, consciousness, and cosmic joy. This life-altering experience took her some years to integrate into the ordinary world of day-to-day life. In 1997, Mada developed the evolutionary Dalian Healing Method, which is a light-speed method for transforming physical and psychological pain and suffering into health and consciousness. Mada is an award-winning author, mystic, medical intuitive, master healer, and spiritual guide. For the past 20 years, she has dedicated her life to helping others towards health and spiritual transformation. She travels internationally, offering seminars, workshops, and retreats to individuals, children, and organizations. And she is a guest at radio shows and other shows. So I'm very happy to welcome you to the show, Mada. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Monica. Glad to be with you today.
That's awesome. So let me start by asking you how you define leaders and leadership. Who is a leader in your point of view?
Well, a leader is someone who, first of all, is able to lead their own life.
Okay.
Which means someone who has the consciousness to understand themselves, who has cleared their own cobwebs, so to speak, and has understood their own beliefs, has transformed their own limitations and fears, and is able then with a deeper understanding create some sort of a direction or have a light that could give direction to other people. So leading other people is not something that comes, if a true leader is not somebody who just decides one day I'm going to lead other people.
Right.
To me, a true leader is somebody who first will discover who they are, and then with discovering of who you are, you also discover your own gifts and your strengths. And to lead others means to help others do the same.
Right. So if I understand you correctly, then leadership is more stepping into one's own power, getting to know oneself, and then developing a vision and a direction for oneself and let one's own light shine so that other people can follow if they so choose.
Well, yes, other people can, to me, following is not even in my vocabulary, because to follow someone means you're not following yourself. So the true leadership is everything you said, to the point of then you become like an example, because we get inspired by people that we feel from inside. It's not like a mental desire to achieve something, because a lot of the time what I notice is many times people want to lead in order to achieve something. So to be a leader, there's nothing to achieve. You simply are following your own light, your own truth, and as such become an example for others to find their own light and their own truth. And of course, many people need guidance. And if you're traveling a little bit ahead of others, then you can give the guidance. But again, with an understanding that you're not creating followers, with the understanding that you're basically shining your light so that other people can see their own light.
Right. Yes, I guess that. And I think through the light, there is kind of like an attraction. So the followership is not necessarily just meant as a mental concept, but as somebody who, as you said, is inspired by you modeling what it means to step into your own light and let that shine.
Exactly.
So for you then, leadership is obviously not defined by a role, like by a title, like it's more a personal concept, not concept, an approach to life, rather than a title that somebody earns because they have been promoted.
That's correct. And also, to be a true leader, there needs to be a certain element of caring. Because if you just want to gratify your own self and your own ego to feel secure that you are now having this title of being the leader, then obviously your focus is on yourself, is not on how to help other people. So to be able to be that true leader, you must care and you must feel happy for other people's happiness. So, and this is the difficult situation where many people struggle. They, in my work especially, I've come across so many people who come to me and they have issues to solve, and they say, "Well, I want to help other people," and then I look and see that they can't even help themselves. So number one must be, you must be able to help yourself and have no fears. Because if there are fears, how are you going to be able to not compromise the truth? How are you going to be able not to manipulate and control?
Right, because so fear is in our way of actually expressing our own true self fully.
Well, if you're fear, then you're concerned about either pleasing somebody, being politically correct,
mm-hmm.
not being able to speak the truth, what you feel inside, and you basically compromise yourself, and as a result, you compromise. It's the compromise happens basically on energetic level. Humanity, each human being, as an energy phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
And each person has certain beliefs and certain experiences. They formed their beliefs. They formed a certain way of thinking, a certain ideology about life. And this ideology is formed very early on based on the soul's individual experience of coming to this world. The way they were treated, they were welcomed, not welcomed, their personal experiences in individual families. And all those experiences are based on certain thoughts. So a thought, you have an experience, you have a thought. That thought then stays in the body and it turns into a kind of a thought pattern, which I call the belief. And
right.
then you forget about your conclusion about life that you made based on your experiences. And then all these conclusions stay in your body in the form of a belief. So in order to find yourself, to find your own inner truth, you must recognize, you must dig into the unconscious, which is in the body, and transform those beliefs. Because every belief keeps the energy limited. It's almost like we have so many thoughts that we repress inside. And everything we repress inside solidifies our energy. It makes our energy harder. And as the energy gets harder, it's almost like shells, protective shells that we start building around our body and in our energy. And these shells are the attachments that we then get identified with. In a way, if you want to lead and make the world a better place, because that's to me, in my mind, a true leader is someone who wants to make the world a better place,
mm-hmm.
then all these limited beliefs that are keeping you limited must be transformed, because each person comes with tremendous possibilities and tremendous potential. However, the world is not set up, the education system is not set up to encourage that potential to flower. On the contrary, what we do with children, we try to make them follow the rules that we have been made to follow ourselves. And then we take away the possibility of the child to start thinking for themselves. And it's
mm-hmm.
very important, any leader, in order to be a leader, you must learn to think for yourself.
So basically what I'm hearing you say is that we kind of like stifle children's opportunity to actually become leaders of their own life by
That's right,
imposing
exactly.
them to so many rules, right? And rules and limitations and expectations.
That's right. And instead, we must change that and put the focus on the potential of the child, because nobody knows the potential of the child. This is the thing. When people haven't found, if a teacher hasn't found their own potential, how can the teacher teach a child to find their potential? And how is the parent, and it's like people, as they get adults, become adults, that's when they struggle, and they struggle through life, and then they do their own, through their own effort, you find your gifts, through your own effort.
Mm-hmm.
And many people don't even make that effort. So many
that's
people
right.
have been made to follow the authority, to follow the institution, and that's the wrong kind of following.
Mm-hmm. So then at this point, I think it's a good question to ask you then. So why do you think we need to change how we view leadership? Like what is what is wrong in our current nowadays leadership then, and what can we change?
Well, number one thing we need to change is, like I said, we need to work with our own fears, because our fears force us to control others.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to enhance and help somebody else's potential come to flowering, you cannot control them. On the contrary, you need to see, first of all, the work then would be back into, am I controlling, am I manipulating, and why am I doing that? And what are my insecurities? And work with those. Because with those insecurities, not only you manipulate and control, but you also allow others to manipulate and control you. And if that's the case, then you're caught in the same game. And to be a leader, you have to come out of that game. And you have to start thinking for yourself, like I said, based on your own contemplation of what is right and what is wrong, what is true, what is not true. You need to find those things inside yourself, because otherwise you just follow. If somebody wants, and this we see this in the world today very, very clearly, if somebody has an agenda, political agenda, they start thinking of ways to implement that agenda by using people's fears, by manipulating people's fears. So if there is a group of people who is unhappy, then I can use that group of people to push my agenda, and I can pay them money. I can condition them to believe that what I'm thinking is right. I can bring in the religious conditionings, and the whole world is in a mess because of this. And people do not realize that I'm being actually manipulated based on, because I'm afraid. So to be a leader, first of all, you have to work with your fears. To me, that's the only bottom line in a way. And you have to start thinking for yourself. Those two things are very, very important. And these are the two things that we haven't, we do not teach our children in our schools.
Mm-hmm. So then basically, like, the first step for us would be to all, if we want to step into our own self-leadership, to, yeah, contemplate what are we afraid of, where are we manipulating other people or being manipulated ourselves, and really get to know ourselves better so that we can, yeah, relieve all those layers of thoughts and beliefs that you described as being stuck in our body and in our energy, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right. And ultimately, so we come back to, like you said, the number three would be then know thyself.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you know yourself, knowing thyself means recognizing that I'm not this fear. The fear is actually an illusion based on, what is the fear? The fear of survival. Everybody's afraid to survive. But what is this fear of survival? This fear of survival actually is imprinted in our body. It's part of the body's survival mechanism. But then there is the psychological fear of survival, which stems out of not trusting ourselves, not trusting existence. So those things, as you work with fears, the self-trust, self-confidence, all these things must be part of that. And they happen automatically as you transform the fears. You start feeling more confident in yourself. You start feeling more trusting in yourself and in the universe. And ultimately, this self-exploration helps you to understand that everything in life is temporary. Everything comes and goes. And if we do not get attached to outcomes, then we can create, the creativity will have no limits. And what I mean by outcomes, so for example, you know, you have a project, you're creating a spaceship to go to Mars. Okay, of course you have this goal to create and how I'm going to come to that. But the idea that I want to fly to Mars and I want to have regular flights, just like I fly from East Coast to West Coast, I can fly to Mars. So that's the human imagination created, created by that ability to have no limits. So when there's no limits in the imagination, then, of course, it's like, okay, now I would like to see this unfold. And this is how evolution happens. Evolution happens because there's no limitations that we have put around us by the thinking mind, which says this, I cannot do this, this cannot be done, I'm afraid. So all these thoughts must be transformed. If these thoughts are there, it's impossible to be a leader. To be a leader is to have no limits in your thinking, mm-hmm. in your imagination, in your ability, trusting in your own ability and trusting that it is possible. So, in other words, connecting to a vision. To be a leader, you need to have a vision.
Right. Yeah, and what I really tapped into, or as I was listening to you, is how many gazillions of limitations and limited beliefs we put onto ourselves and other people. So the world like almost seems like this cobweb of limitations that humanity has put on ourselves, right? So it seems like there's a big task ahead of us to actually change that pattern of limiting ourselves and others. Right? And looking forward, then, when we talk about what will leadership of the future look like, can you shed some light on that and what you see is going to change in the leadership, or would need to change in the leadership of the future in order to create something better, something that is less limited and more productive? What comes to your mind there?
Yeah. First of all, to understand that humanity is not, humanity is not creating the limitation. Every child comes completely open.
Mm-hmm.
If we look in life right now, and it's already in our, in everybody's, in a way, awareness, we call 1% controlling the 99% of the world, right? So
mm-hmm.
wealth, people who have money control the world. People who have power control the world. So, and what needs to be, first of all, understood is what is the agenda of these people that are controlling the world? Are they wishing well for me? Or they have a certain agenda that they want to accomplish, and they're using me to accomplish their agenda, which is the case at the moment. They're using the masses to accomplish their agenda.
Right.
So you either come out of that game, and again, I said, unless you care, you're not a leader. So you think, if you think a church and a priest and, the institution is leading you, wishing you well, that's you have to start thinking about it. Is it true? Can I go and put loud music and dance in the church? Well, I will not be allowed to do that. But if I'm dancing, I feel good.
Mm-hmm.
No, if I go into the church, and this, I don't know, it's my experience. It maybe it's not your experience, but when I go to a church, I see all this long, kind of sad. It's like this heavy energy of sadness. That's not joy. Existence is made of joy. So if somebody wants me not to feel my joy, they're not helping me. They're not on my side. They're not helping me to discover, because creativity comes. If a person is creative, joy arises out of creativity. The whole universe is made of joy because the whole universe continually creates. And it uses us as, this energy phenomena that is incarnated in small bodies to continue its creation and evolution. And people who are the most creative they don't follow rules. This is the thing. You know, and if you have to, you either follow rules or you become a leader and create and enhance something, you know. And if we look back in history, everybody who has actually contributed something has been that kind of a person. Take Tesla. Well, okay, he created this free energy, but then those in control took it and repressed it for their own interest.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing happens now. We don't know how many patents are there, how many creations, how many people have created things that have been taken and repressed because the status quo does not want that. They haven't figured it out how they're going to monetize it for their own good. So unless money disappears, the structure that we have right now is not going to change. And in order for that to happen, each individual must start transforming their own fears. Because if you stop following, or if you stop giving your energy for other people to use you, then there's less and less people to use, and then more and more people who can actually start living, bringing their creativity for the benefit of themselves and the world. Because it has to be both-sided, right? It has to be two-sided. If you're have something to contribute, you should also benefit.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. So then how do we turn this ship around? Like, if I understand you correctly, it's really one person at a time, right? So that we start with ourselves.
That's right. It's absolutely the way I see it. It's like if each person finds their own light and can stand on their own two feet and live their own creativity and voice, then if there's more people who are living their energy this way, it creates the energetic mass, which makes it almost like, imagine several light bulbs suddenly coming on. If there's only one light bulb in the room, so you have some light. You suddenly put 100 light bulbs in the room, the light is going to be so much stronger, and it's going to spread outside of the room. So it has more space to illuminate.
Mm-hmm. And it reaches further, right?
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the individuals who find their own light can make a difference. And that's precisely why I created this healing system, the Dalian Method, so that people can transform all these beliefs and the fears that are stuck in their body. Because all the attachments, we call, what is attachment, Monica? Attachment is whatever is stuck in our body is repressed, is what we're attached to.
Mm-hmm.
So the system helps you release those attachments so you can disidentify from what you're attached to. And once you disidentify, suddenly you see your own strength, you see your own light, you see your own being, and this is your consciousness. Every child comes with that consciousness. Every human being, no matter how unconscious and no matter how many layers of conditionings have been put on them, the light is there in their being, so it does not disappear. The body can disappear; it will. Everybody dies in one day, but that light continues with you. But when it's covered up with so many fears, it's almost like you don't see the light.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the fears and those ideas, those beliefs must be worked with, released, so that the clouds disperse, so you can see the light, you see the sun, which is inside you. And once you see it, this is the magic, once you see that no one can live my life, I am in charge of my own life, and no matter how much somebody, you know, cares or does not care, it does not make a difference unless I find and live what I have.
Mm-hmm.
And
hello?
Many people are starved.
Okay,
yeah,
sorry, you were just cutting in and out a little bit. Sorry, I missed maybe half a sentence.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries. Maybe
yeah.
you can just repeat the last little bit that I know what you...
Basically, it's... I was talking about love, which is that environment, that nourishment that everybody needs from our very, you know, moment of our birth. And unfortunately, because the status quo, the institutions, the society has so many rules. With rules, you cannot create that environment of nourishment and acceptance and unconditional welcome of a being into this planet. So every child at birth, they already feel it. They know it. And that's why everybody's so starved for love, because we don't create that environment. We don't provide it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all competition. It's all, compete, compare. And then you start thinking, I'm better than somebody. I'm worse than somebody. I'm not good enough. So these are the beliefs that I'm talking about that must be looked at and transformed, because these are only
right.
thoughts. They're only
mm-hmm.
thought patterns. And they run your energy, they run your life. And this is what the Dalian method would help you do. Release those thought patterns so you can see that actually these thoughts are false. These beliefs are false.
Yeah, for sure, and I've experienced it many times myself, and I'm by far not done yet, right? But I've definitely experienced that you described, right? In reconnecting to my own light and the joy and the self-acceptance
mm-hmm.
and the acceptance of other people as well, right? So, yeah, this
absolutely,
is amazing.
Yeah.
And this actually, I want to use this as a segue to ask you a little bit more about this tool, the Dalian method, which seems to be one of the tools how each of us can step into leadership and own our life more by addressing those beliefs that we are so attached to, and the beliefs that are formed over our lifetime and are blocking our energy. So first of all, like what has made you create this healing method? Like what caused you to actually come up with it?
Well, first of all, I must say that I had no intentions of creating anything like this. My intention was my own transformation, and that's what I worked towards from very early on, actually starting from 5 years old, recognizing that I am going to die and needing to know who I am, because
mm-hmm.
that was, in my mind, the most important question to find answer to. So from age 24, I was fortunate enough to meet an enlightened master, Osho, and focus more on the question of who am I and meditation and self-exploration. So when we focus on that, we absolutely can, just like anything else, when we focus, we can achieve that goal. With this, however, one important thing is to understand that awakening does not happen through the mind.
Mm-hmm.
It happens through awareness of recognition of the mind, recognition of the fear of death, and the decision to say that if I'm going to die, I'll let it be so, because it's not me who's afraid to die, it's my ego that is afraid to die. So that recognition came to me. So I recognize it's the thought, It's the recognition of this is the ego that is afraid to die. So therefore, when I went to sit to meditate, in that meditation, and specifically called dynamic meditation, which involves a physical movement as well, and my body was very exhausted from all mm-hmm. the hard work that I've been doing, completely actually not allowing my mind to say that I'm tired. Because even that thought, I'm tired, will not allow you to go any further. So
right.
by seeing the thought, by saying I'm not going to follow the thought, I'm going to follow what's burning inside me, that burning need to know myself. And recognizing the ego, you step through that door of death. And mm-hmm. when you do that, when you say, today's a good day to die, suddenly existence says, okay, now I can give you the gift because you worked hard, you deserve it. So it does not come as a result of sitting by the side of a guru or, you know, doing, even sitting and meditating, watching your mind. It's a very, very long path. So it's the self-awareness. Awareness of the ego and the ability to take that step of complete surrender into the unknown. So mm-hmm. once those experiences were part of my journey, then I came to a place to see that if I do not share what I know, then the continuation of my own evolution will stagnate. Because evolution,
right.
awakening is not a one event and it's the end.
Mm-hmm.
Many people think, oh yeah, I'll become enlightened and then all my problems will disappear. But if that was the case, there will be no expansion in consciousness in the universe. The universe
mm-hmm.
will stop expanding. So the journey is the goal. And the learning never ends. So for me, it was the curiosity of then wanting to see how this dynamics works in other people. And as I started exploring and using the ability I had as a child to read the thoughts in people's bodies, then I started looking at how so many thoughts and so many emotions are repressed in a human being's body. And the body contains the whole history of all the beliefs, all the thoughts, all the emotions, not just this lifetime, but other lifetimes as well. And then each part of the body has a certain quality in it that helps to transform energy and helps to transform both unconscious into consciousness. So I started working with the whole body, the chakras, the verbal expression of what I was reading in the body. In other words, in the beginning, I was telling people what I hear repressed
mm-hmm.
in their body. And they were without any exception, they were reacting to it in terms of resonating, and
yeah.
tears would come to their eyes, and suddenly it's almost like suddenly this ice burst would start melting. You know
mm-hmm.
how people are normally you meet people for the first time, and there's always this a protective sort of shell,
reservation, like reserved. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's afraid to show themselves, to show what they think. And suddenly when somebody tells them exactly what they're seeing inside them, and without even thinking, that whole shell will crumble. And I recognize that now that this is the way to get into the consciousness that's inside the person's body. And I started asking people to verbalize what I was hearing out loud, because me telling them I felt was not enough. And then as I got them to verbalize the thoughts, I recognized there's many different contradictory thoughts repressed in many different parts of the body. And then as we work with one thought and emotion, another one automatically will come to the surface, mm-hmm. because there's so much repressed in the body. And it's almost like the energy solidifies and the organs inside the energy start, then not the energy doesn't move. So then we have all these physical problems. And as what solidifies the energy and the organs is released, which is the thoughts and emotions that are repressed there, suddenly the physical ailments disappear. Suddenly the psychological fears start disappearing. And the person connects to their inner strength and consciousness. And I discovered that this is like a blueprint. It's like a formula that was unfolding in front of me that was mm-hmm. working for each person without exception. And this formula was so powerful that it was working with the body, the thoughts, the emotions, the spirit, the consciousness, the past of the person, past beliefs, all at the same time. So, and the only way to create permanent transformation of an issue is to work with everything that makes up a human being, a human being. So
not just focus on the thoughts or emotions, but do it all together.
Absolutely, because and every, mm-hmm. and not only all together, and the whole body from feet to the top of the head must be worked with. Nothing can be left untouched if we want to create a permanent transformation. And to me, this is the technology of the future that can, and it creates very quick transformation. And not only that, at some point I realized that this is such a powerful system that it must be shared with the world, and the only way I can do it is to create a self-help version of the system, because it is a system, mathematical blueprint. I have to do this, then that, then that, then that, then that, and how the unconscious is changing into consciousness. So it was happening over and over again with the same formula. So then that's how the self-healing method was created, and I further realized that it's almost like we're in a transition time between the now and the future, and in this transition time, people need to, it's almost like it's such a complex yet simple system that that I felt that I need to train people to be able to work with other people using this self-help system so that people can get used to something different and new like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can work on their own. So then they can work with a facilitator, and you're one of them, you're trained to be a facilitator.
Yep.
And then they can take it further, they can work on their own. I personally, I'm still working with people, but I only like to work with people when they've done everything and they're absolutely stuck.
Right.
In the meantime,
mm-hmm.
you know, work with my facilitators, work with on your own, do whatever you can. And then if you're completely stuck, because sometimes it's really hard to detect that ego, the way it hides.
Yes, for sure.
And that's
I know it has played many tricks on me.
Exactly. So that's the only time that I'm willing to work people, because they already have a lot of awareness and understanding.
Mhm. Mhm. So then this tool that now helps, and I can speak from my own experience, right? To lift those layers of heavy thoughts, restrictive emotions and beliefs. So this amazingly effective tool then can be used by leaders, or should be used by everybody who aspires to do something, contribute to a change for good in the world, right?
That would be the quickest way, yes, to basically, Monica, you already know you work in this field, and you know how many people are trying to find their purpose.
Right?
So to find your purpose, first of all, you have to remove all these cobwebs that are that are stuck in your energy, that are not allowing you connect to your vision. And then once you connect to your vision, your path is going to be absolutely uniquely yours. It cannot, like Jesus said, the path is narrow and only one person can walk on it. Because each person has their own history of travels through the universe and what they've learned and the gifts that they discovered and they've created. And if you try to imitate somebody or copy somebody, that's not leadership. So you must learn. You must learn to find what is your own unique strength. What is your own contribution? And this is the only way you're going to be fulfilled. This is, it's almost like people who have found it. And there's many people who have found it and they're living it. They they can work, nonstop without even thinking for a moment, I'm tired.
Right.
You see, it's like then you live it, you breathe it. And you know you cannot do it. You have to do it. So you cannot postpone for tomorrow. It's something that you know. It's like your being forces you. It pushes you. If the river is flowing from inside you, the energy is moving, and you know I must do it. So when you're in that, then do you care about comparing yourself to others? Of course not. You don't need to waste your energy and time, right? You don't compare. You don't try to copy. Find your own gifts, because once you find it, you don't have to think about it. You just live it.
Right.
And when you have, if you have to think about something when you're doing or saying something, means you haven't found your gift. You and how can you lead other people if you haven't found your own?
Right. Yep, that's a very, very valid question, and one that I totally appreciate it, because there is so much followership, blind followership happening in the world, that we need people that stand out by themselves as their true selves and sharing their gifts with the world as authentically as they can. Right. So
that's the only way we're going to create an orchestra, because each instrument that adds on to the orchestra creates that wonderful music that we listen to. So, and the world is not, it's people don't understand that there's so much in the universe to create, to manifest.
Right.
And each person is a vehicle. I see myself as a vehicle who manifested this system because I had the right ingredients in order to be able to figure it out and bring it into manifestation. There's
right.
so many things we need in life. So many things we create. This world can endlessly, it's like we're on this planet, but there's so many other planets that sustain life. And this creativity, a connection with other civilizations, it's so much richness in the universe. But that richness is also on this planet. And what have we done with that richness when we repress and we control and we manipulate? Well, obviously, we don't allow that richness to be manifested.
Yeah, which is a big shame, absolutely. So, actually, I've been receiving a couple of questions from callers, and we are about that time point anyway, where I would like to address a few of those questions, if that's okay with you. So one of them actually fits really well into what we're just talking about with the practicality of the Dalian method. So Sarah M. is asking, how do we truly let go of toxic guilt?
You cannot do that with your head. This is exactly the power of this new technology. So it allows you to be yourself absolutely 100%, because everything you feel has a reason for it. Everything you think has something in it that there's a lesson behind it. So when you judge something and say this is toxic and this is a toxic guilt, well, then you've already put a lid on it because you've judged it. So when you work with the Jalian method, there's absolutely no judgment. You're encouraged not to judge. As a matter of fact, you're encouraged to verbalize exactly the same thoughts that you're thinking and allow those emotions to be released, expressed and released, because everything released out of your energy that is stuck there, out of your body, it will allow your energy to come back to its more natural state without any beliefs imprinted in it. Because any kind of thought that goes into the energy, it makes the energy flow that way. Energy itself is neutral. So you put a thought, you put a guilt, you say, this is good, this is bad, you already put a block on the energy. So with the method, it allows you, it takes you through. It's an you work with it. You don't just listen to it. You participate.
Mm-hmm.
Interactive. So you participate by with expressing out loud, with exhalation, with body movement, and then we're working with, like I said, from the feet all the way to the head, the back of the head, the pituitary gland, the third eye, all the chakra system, and you're detoxifying your body from all the thoughts and emotions. And then the magic happens by itself, and we completely, completely avoid using the mind. We do not use the mind. As a matter of fact, we completely bypass the mind, because the mind creates those beliefs. And you cannot use the mind that creates the beliefs to work with those beliefs, because when you believe something, you think it's true. That's what belief means. But once you work with this system, you see that the belief is actually just a belief and it is not true. Or you come to see the lesson behind your experience, then you're absolutely free, completely free from the self-judgment, the guilt, self-hatred, all these things. And you must come to appreciate, love, and respect yourself. And this happens automatically as well. And once you start loving and appreciating yourself, then of course you're going to be happy to explore what else do you have inside.
Yeah, and I can speak to that as well from my own experience. The lesson learned underneath those thoughts and beliefs that I have held on for so long, it's such a relief to actually understand and really experience why those beliefs were there in the first place and why I had to go through that experience, because there's a deeper learning for me underneath that, right? So with every session that you go through of the Jalian method, there is a promise of you getting a deeper understanding of yourself, basically, right? And why your life has evolved in the way it did.
And it's in a very short time. And
mm-hmm.
The understanding, basically, it's transforms those initial imprints in your physical cells,
mm-hmm.
the beliefs that are running in your physical cells, like computer programs. So then the energy moves, the body heals itself, everything starts shifting. And this is the practical method. And again, it's anything new like this, it's so, for me personally, because I'm a very practical person, it's so difficult to describe it. I know how it works. I've created the self-help version, and I'm telling people just use it. It will do the thing that you want. So then the rest is like the motivation of how to motivate people to dedicate themselves to put the energy to practice it, because there's so much conditioning that is happening, especially now with the new age, that everybody's trying to figure out the how with the mind. And the mind cannot figure out the how. because this is a completely different dimension. The mind cannot figure out why we're born and why we die. The mind cannot figure out why things happen in our life the way they do. Only when we get to connect to our inner consciousness is when we know the truth. We know why things happened the way they did. And this is through this knowing, then gratitude automatically arises. Love automatically arises. Compassion automatically arises. And forgiveness automatically happens. Go automatically happens. But it happens only when we connect to our inner consciousness. And this is the method to help you do that.
Right. There's one question from Cheryl in Ontario, and we're about to need to wrap up, but I quickly want to run it by you anyway. She has been struggling with depression, like Cheryl in Ontario has been struggling with depression since the lockdown, and she doesn't have the energy to focus or try anything. How does someone climb out of a hole this deep? Like, do you have a 1 minute first step for Cheryl that you can share with her?
Well, first of all, the question, why am I depressed?
Mm-hmm.
So the mind might say, well, I can't go out, I can't meet people, I'm not free. But these are all thoughts. But why am I really depressed?
So that's a good question to contemplate.
Find answers to your question, 17 minutes. You can.
That's good. That version too.
Find answers to your questions. You do a 17-minute version of the method, which is specifically to find answers to your questions. But bottom line is, it's Sharon. Yeah, you said name Sharon.
Cheryl.
Yeah. Bottom line, Cheryl is that you haven't learned to make friends with yourself and to be with your to be alone with yourself. And this is the problem. Many people are depressed because they just can't. They're not used to being with themselves. And the fear to be alone is so deeply ingrained from the very, very childhood. Every child is afraid to be alone. And that's coming up. A lot of these things are coming up as a result of this lockdown and limitations. So then you have to spend time with yourself and you don't know how. Well, you need to learn to spend time with yourself and discover, why am I feeling this way? Why am I feeling, why I don't want to be alone? Why I can't sit still? Why this emptiness kind of feels uncomfortable for me? And this
Oh, thank you, Mara. Sorry to interrupt you, but we only have a minute left now, so I'd like to give you, but thank you so much for this initial guidance for Cheryl. So for people to get in touch with you, how can they reach you if they have further questions or want to consider a session with you or check out your products that they can buy from you? How can they best reach out to you?
Best is through my website, maradalian.com, MADADALIAN.com.
Awesome. That's perfect. And if anybody has any questions for me, you can reach out at cleardirections.ca. And before we part, one final piece of advice for leaders in the world or those who want to become one, Mara?
We'll go back to the number one, be yourself first, and then if you're meant to lead others, then it will automatically happen.
Okay, perfect.
So find yourself first.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much for being on the show with me today. That was an awesome conversation. I'm sure people got a lot of insights from it. Next month, we'll be talking about intuition in leadership. My guest and I will touch on that topic. But for today, thanks so much, everybody, for being here with us, and a special thanks to you, Mara.
Thank you, Monica. All the best to everybody.
Thank you so much. Bye for now.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network.